You all just wake up 3 days later and still sick.
Yeah.
Sorry about the very long attempt at the intro there. I was like, at what point do I change this over? Like, at any point of this? And the answer is none of this. So we are now live as of this moment. So.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Honest Wargamer. I am with on Stream Street Day 305, or as I like to call it, the 40K Adjacent Show, joined by Val Heffelfinger and Falcon, the Angel from the North. Hello, gents. How are you both?
Very good. Gentlemen, do you know what this is? What show this is in the history of our show?
It's not our 69th show.
What? Am I too quiet?
I thought you were playing music.
Oh, no. This is the last day of the Trump administration.
It is! It is! Congratulations. We should all do...
That's a happy sound. I need a happy sound. Yeah.
There we go. That is correct. Our side show of occasional politics talk does it. It's the end of an era, unfortunately.
What an era.
We'll see if it's the end. I'm hopeful.
it'll linger. The Trump administration will be a lingerer, I am sure. Long after it leaves the room.
It still blows me away that anyone whose name is synonymous with what in England is a fart. I don't know if it's true in Canada as well, but a Trump here was always what a fart was, and how that ever got out the gate is beyond me.
You guys call farts Trumps?
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of a little onomatopoeia there, depending on the situation.
Kind of works. Well, hello everyone, welcome to the show. Now, before we get into it, and I know, and maybe Pete and Val want to touch on it as well, I don't want to over-reg it, but obviously there's been some phenomenal Age of Sigmar leaks, which I plan later on to talk about.
Smoking cigarettes till now with a deck of 51.
So I'm gonna do my own show on that later. But I'll ask you two about it as well in a moment. I'd like to just quickly point on the fact that WAP WAP 92, big love to you, has pointed out that actually it isn't the end of the Trump administration. I don't know if you and Falcon have kept up with this, but actually the current theory going is actually Trump has accepted an offer from the deep state to replace Biden in a face-off situation. In the future,
I've seen this.
When you've seen this, good. Okay, so in the future, when Trump is on trial, actually, it's technically Biden, and then same flip flop, face off.
I thought what that meant was that the president will be John Travolta.
Also a possibility.
That'd be so good.
His face is swollen enough to be president. It could work.
How are you both? Val, are you well?
Am I well? I'm all right. I'm worried. I'm very worried about my microphone. Had some issues with the microphone, but hopefully it's going and things are fine.
It's working fine. And, I promise you.
Hold on, I screwed it up. I was trying to do play in solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51, smoking cigarettes and watching Captain. Kangaroo, no, don't tell me. Got nothing to do.
Does anyone?
No.
Pete?
No, nobody? Come on, man.
Val, we don't do that here.
You guys don't know that song?
This isn't. I know the song. It's not a singing song.
Oh,
what song is that?
I'm just referencing kangaroos because apparently that's a big deal for you. Age of Sigmar people.
Well, apparently the pushback this morning, you know, whenever you put a tweet out and you think that's going to get some pushback in the morning. When I go to sleep, I'm going to have to deal with that one.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bit like when you don't wash the pots before you go to sleep. You think, this morning Rob's problem. Anyway, Val, I imagine you kind of have a robot that picks them up and just washes them at this stage, probably. I don't know.
One of his serfs. One of his serfs.
We're on the three seashells around here, man.
Mm. Well, the pushback apparently is they're not kangaroos. That in fact, they're dinosaurs. Because of the strong herbivore push of the Lumineth Realm Lords, apparently they're obviously they have goats/cows and all that manner of things before, but they're more herbivore orientated than they would be I don't know if kangaroos, I think kangaroos are still herbivores, but apparently it's a herbivore dinosaur and not a kangaroo. Apologies.
Right. It's like when I thought those weird Admech things were horses.
And they were dogs.
Like they're dogs. Robot dogs.
They're not even just robot dogs. They're robot dogs with people brains.
Robot dogs with people brains.
Would you say that one of the question for you guys is, would you say that that's the problem with just a picture? Is there's not enough context, and they need some more delivery on context before you see the picture? Like robo dogs with human brains, as an example, you just saw the picture and you went, "Ah, oh, cool, horses."
Yeah. I don't want more context. Sometimes I'm really okay with it being a kangaroo. Like, if you're when you over explain, sometimes it just ruins the moment. Ruins the moment.
Ruins. They're gonna rue this day.
They're gonna rue this day.
Like, I'm really good with it just being a kangaroo. I could do without the rider. The Lumineth hats are so stupid. Like, what is going on over there? Like,
it's a game of big hats.
A game of big hats. I get it. But what is happening? Who at GW thought that those were a great idea? Like, literally every Lumineth model except for the one that doesn't have a body, the hats are so ridiculous. Get over it. Come on, guys.
The hats are ridiculous. I think it's part of the vibe now. I think 2021, Rob's going to be like very emotionally just into everything. That's kind of what I've decided.
I get it.
Like with the Death Guard stuff, which we'll talk about in a bit. I'm just down for the kicks, baby. I just want to have some fun. And there's just some
get
fun.
Get rid of the hats.
Yeah, well, no more hats, if anything.
I think they're delightfully deranged and weird. I think
put a hat on the kangaroo.
I think
they're
fantastic. Also, if you don't like the hats, you can just cut the freaking hats off.
There's a guy downstairs, Scott, wonderful guy. He's like a painter, and he's been painting up some of the things I've been 3D printing, specifically some walruses to go with an ogre hunter. And he was like, "Rob, how would you feel if I put hats on the walruses?" And I was like, "Scott, you fucking crack on, son! Like, I am over the moon."
Shine on, you crazy diamond!
I think more hats on everything. Ultimately,
I'm wearing a hat. Oh, what's this on my hat? Is it a kangaroo? No, it appears to be some sort of a buffalo.
I think it's some kind of dinosaur. It's some kind of herbivorous dinosaur to me.
I am the walrus. I am the walrus.
Pete, if you could put any hats on any
right.
range in 40K, Val, same question. Like, what would you want to see?
It would only be orcs. I would only want orcs with top hats. It's the only thing I've ever wanted. Yeah, I know you can get them through. Route. Like, yeah, but I mean, like, I want GW to do it. I want them to do it right, and that's what I want. I want orcs with top hats, and I want Jersey Shorks. Like, when I, years and years ago, when the Jersey Shore was a thing, I wanted a Jersey Shore army. I wanted all my orcs to have shake weights and wear purple and orange and have headbands and armbands. I thought it would have been amazing.
Paint them all orange. How didn't we truly anticipate the Trump administration when the Jersey Shore existed? Like, we should have known. We should have known right then.
Right? Right?
In fact, I'm sure someone warned us.
This is the deep state problem right now.
Is the Jersey Shore the deep state? Is that that's a naughty?
See, that would make a lot more sense to me.
There we go.
Jersey Shore is the deep state, because that just lines up a lot more with the decision making style and approach. I think we nailed
Occam's razor. This is Occam's razor.
That's right. Absolutely correct.
Okay. Well, so Val, you got any thoughts on the ruse? And how do you feel about them?
No, I think that model range is delightfully insane. It's great. A Snooki reference in the chat. Wow, my mind just ripped in half because I haven't had that. I haven't imagined or contemplated Snooki in some time. Nonetheless, I think it's delightfully insane. This whole range, the giant cow robot guy. I already named Empty Suit of Armor Dude as my model of the year. And I figure if you don't like the hats, GW has conveniently made them dumb enough that they can just clip right off. No problem. So, hey, I'm in.
I can't wait for the Chaos Dwarf release, because I don't know if you've heard this, but my Chaos Dwarves were squatted. It's a current Age of Sigmar bit of news for you guys as well. I had an army squatted. or is to be squatted or legended, sorry, to give them their like more official names, legends.
The army that only had Forge World releases for the last like decade.
Yeah, I was going to say.
2 decades.
Legends. So the first Warhammer game I ever played was Warhammer Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Bretonians versus Lizardmen, whatever that was. And I'm pretty sure in those days there were no Chaos Dwarfs. I feel like they hadn't released a Chaos Dwarf model in like 10 years at that time. So I think this army's been dead for a while, Rob.
How dare you? I'll have you know, during the launch of Age of Sigmar 2, we got a battle tome. It's probably strong. Pamphlet is what a lot of people use to describe it, but they're
it's
rude.
A battle pamphlet.
Battle tome, kinda. I gave out loads of pamphlets about the protest, but no one turned up but my mom. Yeah, so.
So,
bad. Go on.
Everyone stop. I need to tell a story.
Yeah,
need to
on.
Tell a story.
Okay,
the first time I was ever cheated at a tournament was playing against Chaos Dwarves in Warhammer Fantasy Battle. First
wow,
time.
Really?
They will always have a place in my heart as like one of the worst tournament experiences I've ever had.
How did that happen?
So we were doing an event. It was a doubles tournament. And I was really brand new to fantasy. I just started my Lizardmen. A buddy of mine invited me to this doubles tournament in Fredericton, New Brunswick. It was like 16 teams, 32 people. Thought it would be super fun. My buddy and I made an Empire and Lizardmen army that was like, I was filling up the board with board control with Skinks and Saurus and then a Slan for casting. And my buddy was basically all artillery with some fanatics for fun. We were going to have a good time. We went in. Our game one, we draw this dude who's there with his wife. And his wife has never played the game before. So he's doing everything. And he's playing orcs and goblins, mostly night goblins. And his wife is running Chaos Dwarves, which hadn't had a list for like 2 editions or 3 editions at this point. So he was using rules that no one was even sure were real. But the TO allowed it. And he slow played the shit out of us after we started winning. So that we ended up with a draw, and I was very frustrated. He basically, he was winning at first, so everything was going real quick. As soon as we turned it around, all of a sudden his wife was doing everything, and he was trying to teach her the game. And for the last like hour and a half of the game, it was, so honey, how do you think this works? And I was just sitting there like, what is happening? What is happening? And it turned out it was like a common play for him at events was to like have his wife
show
up. And then, like, try to teach her the game during games so that people wouldn't be mad, because she's just this like cute, I wouldn't like older by my opinion at the time, lady, so probably my age currently. But anyway, that was the thing.
So obviously, in order to deal with the situation, you just attacked his wife.
I did.
I'd have slept with her.
Called her into question. And that's how Pete wound up in Northern Alberta.
Yep. Yep. Our version. Yeah, with all these anesthesiologists. We don't have doctors. They just put us to sleep up here whenever we're sick.
That's right. Just sleep it off, pal. That's one of my favorite Chris Farley sketches of all time is Hibernol. Instead of taking drugs when you get the flu, you just take an anesthetic that knocks you out for all of flu season, and then you wake up in the spring.
Yep, I remember that one.
But honey, what about the Super Bowl? She just got it. She got it on VHS. She's like, thanks. It's great. Worked for Michael Jackson, right, guys?
I had a Michael Jackson drug when I was in Canada. So fun. What was I going to say? Yeah, so they've been squatted or legended. And I can't remember what we were talking about. Hats specifically. My point was. Always famous for their big hats.
Yes.
I didn't really get in on the big hat aesthetic. I was more new school Chaos Dwarves plate armor. However, you would hope if the Chaos Dwarves do get redone in Age of Sigmar that we do see big hats so big that they're undeniably useful. I think that would be or useless maybe even. I would like it if they were maybe more hat than dwarf.
Just hats with eyes. That's kind of fun.
All right. Well, so I will be talking about the Age of Sigmar stuff later, everyone. I was going to ask you to. Oh, no, Pete, I haven't asked you how you are. Are you well?
No, I'm not. I'm really upset about this kangaroo dinosaur thing now. I was fine until we brought this up.
Why?
This is just too much. Kangaroos aren't dinosaurs. They're kangaroos, guys.
Weren't they once dinosaurs?
Probably
not. I can't deal with this.
And I mean, they're
friggin' shitty big hats.
They're chaos probably dwarves. Marsupials.
It's the only place you can play Warhammer at the minute, so it makes sense to release some, like, Australian-themed toys.
It's true.
It does beg the question, and Richie from Just Play came up with what I thought was a great little pun. He was talking about doing a Deadpool on animals that, as of yet, are not ridden in Age of Sigmar, and I'm quite tempted by that. Obviously, giraffes, elephants. I've been leading the charge for several years about how much I want hippos to be the ridden animal of choice.
Vicious animal.
Is this like an old school Disney Swiss Family Robinson scenario where they're just going to race?
Yeah, well, I mean, animals? That would also be good. Yeah, that would
be a problematic movie, by the way. Problematic. Anyway.
Can we give a shout out to the epic 90s adventure film, Congo?
Great
Based
film.
Off a Michael Crichton novel.
Really? Like Jurassic Park?
Very, very much.
Never put that together. Good point. That was definitely an attempt to cash in on Jurassic Park. What else does this Crichton guy get? They've already used ER. Jurassic Park's happened. How about Congo? There couldn't be anything latently racist in that, right? All right, let's go.
Oh, the 90s. That's so much fun.
Anyway, there's a hippo attack. For all those people who are like, what is this person talking about? There's a hippo attack in the Congo movie,
guys. Hippos are dangerous.
Most dangerous animal in the world, from what I understand.
After
mosquitoes.
Oh, really?
Mosquitoes kill a lot of people. They're violent.
Bill Gates killed them.
He put up nets. Lots of nets.
Bill Gates put a mosquito in my mind. They're just buzzing around now.
Anyway, so the big news in 40K, I guess, is the release of the Death Guard book, or pre-order this weekend. What I would like to say about it, if it's okay to kind of jump the lead on it a little bit, I'd like to ask you two both what you think of it, of course. But something I think is worth bringing up is the fact that I think it's completely fine as a book, and I really love it. It's basically perfect the whole way through. Love it to pieces. No dramas. It's fine. Pete, got any thoughts on it?
I think it's okay. I don't think it's game-breaking. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I think Mortarion is a bit of an issue. I don't think he's as big an issue as people have made him out to be. But in Soup in particular, not as Mono Death Guard, Mortarion is an issue. Like, there's going to be people that will have problems with that.
It's an interesting point you make there.
Awesome.
I think awesome.
I think the Death Guard book itself is quite good in that it's mostly balanced. It changes certain armies. They're going to have to play completely differently if it's popular. But Mortarion by himself, when you can ally him in with like a Lord of Change or Magnus or with Creations of Bile or really anything that can get off an easy warp time until that goes away is an issue. But anything like Morty in a Death Guard list, just pure Death Guard. I love it. I like it. So
well, the book is straight fire. It's so good. Almost everything about it feels unique and powerful, but not overbearing. There are some complaints, I have sure, but there are a few errors. I've just rated Goonhammer. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You should watch. I highly recommend if you want to see the most passionate person in the world talk about this book.
Oh my God. Definitely tune
into Brad Chester's podcast yesterday with TJ Lanigan.
Oh yeah.
TJ called the world in that about how shitty the book is in his opinion. Like calls out the world. He's like yelling at playtesters and at GW themselves and at like
shitty,
anybody
is in the broken good or shitty is in not good at all.
Oh, bad. He thinks it's terrible other than Terminators and Mortarion and Poxwalkers. That's like his thing. Poxwalkers are good, but it's shitty because they limited how many you could take. Terminators are good. Mortarion is stupidly good. Everything else in the book is awful. Why would you ever take it? I will never run a mono Death Guard army unless you force me to, is essentially the TLDR for for the podcast.
Does DJ Lanigan play a lot of Death Guard?
He does. He does. It's his, like, it's his favorite army. He may or may not have run it a lot of it. I mean, he mostly souped in 8th edition, but he did definitely play it mono a few times. But yeah, he is a salty boy about the book.
He's got like a skull belt buckle and like, you know, like those rings that are multiple fingers but one ring. He's hardcore, is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And he has ties. He wears nice ties.
Do you think? Do you think maybe he's trading on the stonks, Val and Pete? This could be. I think this is one of the most important things. Maybe
drive down the prices of Death Guard so he can buy it up. No, I don't think so.
You don't think so.
I mean, he apologized multiple times for things being nerfed, which, I mean, is very TJ. 100% how TJ would handle a situation. If you get to know him, it was like, this is my fault. I was too good with this.
TJ Lanigan loves himself. So TJ Lanigan, one of my favorite Warhammer characters. He's brilliant. Because also, he was dominating the world with the same list as Jim Vessel, but we call it the Jim Vessel list. And it's just great. It's just great because it
hurt him so bad. It hurt him so bad.
Makes him so upset. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, number one, I'm really happy about the book. I think it's super cool. Very happy to be painting up my play dudes.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I need to interrupt. TJ Lanigan also beat Jim in a heads up on the final table in Barry, like the biggest.
He did it more than once. He did it more than once. That was why he ended up playing Chaos for Team Canada when Jim was already on the team. And they asked Jim to play something else, even though Jim didn't know how to play anything else. So Jim just dropped off the team. But it wasn't drama. Like, they were just like, hey, we want you on the team. Can you play something else? And Jim was like, I literally can't play anything else. I'd rather you guys pick a better player. Like, this is just the thing I'm good at. So
I like painting.
He also likes that.
And making creative vegan dishes.
I like Jim, because Jim, you're like, hey, Jim, what do you think of anything? He's like, 4 hours. I've got 4 hours, and then we're going. Big fan of him.
Jim's probably still up from yesterday. We could probably get him on this show. We should get Jim on here.
I think he's been in, like, Ibiza for 2.5 months at this point, so I don't know. He might be dead.
Jim is responsible for the UK strain. He is the mutation.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I think one of the good things about the book is obviously, like, it's a non-marine dex. We've started to understand kind of the power levels of, like, these new books as they come out. One of the things that I saw pushed forward, obviously Morty is going to be at least an issue for armies to deal with, whether or not he's, like, a game-breaking issue, like Pete said. But I think one of the interesting conversations is, how do we feel about, I had this on the show on my own the other day, and I was tempted to ask you two, how do you guys feel about centerpiece models? Because while Morty feels like, it feels like you can build lists without Morty and with Morty, feels like Morty's obviously such a good problem to pose to your opponent, like, and potentially, if your opponent doesn't have the tools to deal with it, you can fairly cakewalk over them. Feels like that. I'm not saying that is the case. And I think, you know, Silent King poses its own problems as well. Marine don't really have like a centerpiece model like that, but Levy Dreads obviously pretty scary.
Gulliman can definitely take that position if you want him to. He's just not as good, but he's also, you know, 200 less points than most of these models we're talking about. So
yeah. I guess my question is how do you both feel about the inclusion of centerpiece models? So your Demon Primarchs and your monster light level models, and I guess to a degree knights. And yeah, what are your thoughts on them in the game?
My only thought is, you son of a bitch, how have you not mentioned the custom Stompa, you mother effer? Like, what is your problem exactly? Like, how do you feel about centerpiece models? You've got all of the models. I'm going to name them all, every single one, all of them. I can't think of one I'm not thinking of. You know, say, custom Stompa. The answer to this problem is the custom Stompa jacked up on all the juice. Smoking all them pipes.
Are you talking about for Mortarion?
Yes.
Because Mortarion shuts off all rerolls.
Like, from across the table?
No, good point. In an aura.
Yeah. All custom Stompa gotta do is see him once. Yeah, hey, Morty.
You get one turn. You get one turn, maybe, unless Morty goes first.
Luckily, I don't... What do you mean? How's he going to get there? How far does he move?
28 inches with warp time?
I mean, can't you just put him... Can't you just reserve him? So he's not even on the board.
I don't think it's a problem.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's true. True. good answer to that whole topic.
Custom Stomper.
Custom Stomper. Pete, got any thoughts on it? Oh, no.
I don't think... we killed Pete. I don't think you can warp... I'm in agreement. I thought that you couldn't do the warp time thing anymore. I thought the keywords didn't work together.
No, they 100% still work. There was a bad leak where people said that you couldn't take any other Psyker but Mortarian in a Mortarian list. Oh, it was not true.
That was me. I did that.
That was not true. It was a fake leak meant to screw with people. Mm-hmm. So...
Do you guys get the impression that everyone has a Death Guard army now? Or like, I think because of 8th edition, because it was like a release army that like everyone has one. So like we're going to see
a lot of people have a Death Guard army. And Mortarian's a beautiful model. But in regards to centerpiece models, which is because I never answered the question, I'm fine with them as long as they're balanced. It's just very hard to balance. We've seen it in the past with Gullyman and with Magnus at times and with Mortarian. In the Knight Castellan and so many other models where they like it's like razor thin as to if they're worth having or not. And you want to see them on the table. But at the same time, when you're seeing them on the table, there's generally an issue with the game. So
do you want to see them on the table, though? I guess is the conversation. I think one of the main tie-ins to this convo is the idea of like ludonarrative dissonance. So the concept that like, obviously, Mortarian can like fight maybe a Warlord Titan or something up to that degree, but yeah, like 12 Eradicators might burn his ass to death. You kind of think, like what's going on there? Do you know? I know that they can't, or Pete, I don't know what the math is, but probably not that many or more. Who knows?
Just want to shout out Stahl_Ernst for getting us up over 100 viewers and leaving.
Oh, appreciate you, Stahl.
They're going to watch chess. That's thank you. Thank you for that.
Why aren't you watching WandaVision, Stahl?
This show's so exciting. I'm going to go watch chess.
Competitive chess is pretty good. I don't know if you know that.
I know. I'm making fun of it, and all the frigging kids are like, oh, man, chess is really good. What are you talking about, idiot?
It's because we chess all fancy that one girl off Queen's Gambit. Right. A big shout-out to our brand-new subscriber, Lord Frill. Thanks very much for joining the team. Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to Sircon in the chat. Big love to you. Happy New Year. Centipede's
have I given you the shitty Amazon sub in a while? Let me just see here. Nope. You got it. You already have it.
Centipede's models are lame, in my opinion, because they feel like bringing a knight to a 1,000-point list. They do too much and are too hard to counter well in all comers lists. I think that's...
It's more like bringing a knight to a 2,000-point list, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you could. I don't know. I feel like there's some disconnect between... I mean, there's always a disconnect between the story anyway. Obviously, like, 10 Space Marines should be able to punch their way through, like, a billion orcs or whatever it is. I just feel like their inclusion on the tabletop sometimes... I think Mortarian's a beautiful model. I like Demon Primarchs. I really like his story from the Horus Heresy. Like, one of my favorite, like, legions was the Death Guard Legion. Like, and I think the tragedy of, like, that storyline is so emblematic in who Mortarian is. But, like... Do you want to see that on the tabletop to a degree? Like, or should it be something, you know, I feel like, because in the Heresy, when you played the Horus Heresy, the game, you could only have, like, Primarchs in, like, 3,000-point games or something. Like, that. Like there was, a points restriction. And I wouldn't mind seeing that, to be honest. Custom Stomper to not be allowed in 2,000 points is what I'm saying.
I feel like you're both talking as fast as possible to prevent me from interrupting you with something dumb. Listen. In all seriousness, I believe that I really like centerpiece models. I agree with Pete. They are really hard to get right, and I think that's Pete's got it exactly, because they're either going to be underpowered, and you're like, and then you get the mega gargant whatever nonsense from Age of Sigmar, or even the way knights are right now, they're underperforming, they're not able to really hang, or you get super OP shit like the Custom Stompa. So, what can you do? It's the tough line to hoe, but I mean, when you have an actual effigy of Gork or possibly Mork, why wouldn't you want that on the table?
Isn't there something called a Gorkanaut and a Morkanaut? Why don't those see play, Val?
They're garbage. They're just garbage. Because you can't juice them up. You can't get the juice.
Can't get that juice.
They've got no juice. They've got not enough juice.
They've been rubbish character for assassinated.
That's right.
Haven't they been rubbish since 8th? Maybe even 4th.
Well, there was a brief moment where a guy named Ben Jurek out in the desert of Nevada was making them work. But that's it. That's like the only moment Gorkanauts have ever had. And Morkanauts don't even get me started. I think the only person who's run a Morkanaut is Bone on Tabletop Tactics.
Loves it.
I watched a Tabletop Tactics video the other day. I watched them two fellas. They got some nice camera angles. It was lovely. And they talk with English accents, so that's nice to listen to.
that was the most English backhanded insult I've ever heard in my life.
What?
This is what I'm on the show for.
Nice camera angle.
I wake up. I have 3 hours sleep. I wake up for this. I roll out of a couch just to hear Rob's takes on this stuff. I want him to backhanded compliment the world. It's so good.
I don't know. I wasn't a backhanded compliment. It was just a compliment.
I don't want to listen to him recorded, though. I'll never watch one of his other shows because they're garbage.
Please don't.
He only ever talks
about
like shitty secondary games. But anyway.
Wow. So, Sid, thanks for subscribing. Appreciate you loads. Listen, we've got kangaroos, and I don't know what you guys have got. What you got? One big smelly boy who's going to beat everyone up.
Robot dogs. We got robot dogs. We already talked about
with this. People brains.
With people brains.
People brains.
anyway, all right. Well, I don't think there's any other news. So I was going to ask you guys, I don't think there's any other 40K news. Apart from there's a 40K preview this weekend. You guys got any thoughts what you might be expecting to see?
Garbage.
What were the adjectives? Did they give us any nouns or adjectives?
Death and...
Divine.
Divine, yeah. Mm-hmm. Death and the divine.
Which is the vampires and the kangaroos, so...
Yeah, it's an Age of Sigmar thing. I don't think we're going to see a lot for 40K. There's going to be like one thing that's going to get everybody's hackles in a jippity-doo, and that'll
hackles
be...
Get your hackles up.
People are going to be like, what is that?
You got any hopes?
Give us the wrong rules for it.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's only in the summary afterwards. I don't know. What could Death and the Divine, what could that be?
Rob literally just told you.
We could be getting more news on the campaign stuff.
Possible. Yeah, because that's Death. That's Death, because we already have Death. I feel like there's 100 things with Death in the name in 40K, but they've been released
already. The leaked pictures are a vampire lord for Age of Sigmar, which is Death, and a Lumineth shitty hat person on a kangaroo,
which is
divine.
Pete. Look,
what?
They have to announce. We're out of codexes. They have to announce a new codex. It has to happen. I guess there's Dark
Angel. They already have. We know the next like 3 months of codexes, right?
Shit, you're right. Dark Angel, Dark Eldar, and Dark Angels, right?
Yeah.
But maybe they'll announce after that. Like, I feel like the campaign should
out of
be...
stuff to talk about.
What would the one after that be? Craft World, Eldar, Orcs? Could Orcs be this year?
Orcs are for sure this year.
I feel strong. I feel strong that the orcs will appear. But every time I said that in 8th edition as well, and then it took them 2.5 years, so or 2 years. So
I mean, it's a very popular book. I think, but the problem with the orc one is obviously it comes with a massive model release. So like, I don't know if that'll be pre this financial year or post. Like, so there's a good conversation that might even be the Christmas, or maybe they finally are planning 3 years late the Orktober of our dreams.
Maybe, I doubt it. I feel like they'll just release it in like, I feel like that kind of an orc release will just come in July for some reason.
I feel like it was supposed to be last October and then everything got shitty. So they're like, whatever, just do it whenever. Who cares?
That feels right. That feels right, Pete. Because honestly, we would have gone through what? It would have been probably June and then two books. We're in August, two books September. So we would be six books deep. How far are we now?
We've only had three books, haven't we? We've had loads of supplements, but fuck them. They're boring.
Like, Space Marines. No, but Necrons. They count as books.
They don't count as books, do they?
Death Guard, Blood Angels, Space Wolves.
Death Watch.
We're in the range.
Space can't even count as a book. It's got no narrative in it. It's got like two. They're like Vikings, fellas. Yeah, rawr. I think one page is just a pop-up picture of some wolves. Yeah. It's so shit. So shit. I really want them to change the creative lead on 40K narrative because it's just fucking awful. Like, that's one of the things I think that's sad at the moment.
If only there was an entire wing of GW that was only staffed by science fiction writers.
If only.
If only. If only.
Too bad there's nothing they can do about it.
So one of the other things is there's an unannounced game system on the preview. What? Yeah, an unannounced game system on the preview. Yeah, it could be anything. It could be Battlefield Gothic. Who cares? It could be Mordheim. Also, who cares? Apart from Nick, and I apologize for saying that.
Time out. Hold on. How dare you? Those are two cherished and beloved systems, both of which are cool as F. How can you just toss off Battlefleet Gothic and Mordheim? You
character
nothing is sacred.
Assassination. That's what that
nothing is.
Nothing
is sacred.
What am I meant to say? Character I don't know. I've never played
assassination.
Them. I don't know Mordheim's good. They
you never
Necron
played
wondering.
Them. But yeah. Like everyone else, you wanted to play them. Don't lie.
I never even knew they existed. What are they?
One is
character.
About one is about some people running around an evil town where there's a bunch of Skaven Weirdstone, and yet you have to steal it all. It's like Necromunda, but in leather chaps. And
but
then,
isn't Necromunda rubbish?
Well, that's not Mordheim's fault. Okay.
But they've got the same rules, guys, because they don't have any creative guys to do that rule set anymore because they don't hire anyone with any talent because they underpay everyone, even though they make millions of pounds every year.
And Battlefleet Gothic is space combat in two dimensions.
But I played EVE a bit. Isn't the whole point about the velocity and the up and down?
What's
and
velocity?
The T-whip?
Probably
is it meters per second squared? Is it meters per second squared?
It is, thank you.
Is that the new name of the
Every
game?
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You know who said that? Newton.
Jesus.
Isaac Newton.
Isaac Corinthians.
Newton. Corinthians. Corinthians.
Get that guy out of that church. So what do you hope it
Andy
is?
Andy Chambers wrote Drop Fleet Commander? That makes so much sense.
You know what?
Wow. I didn't know that.
You know what? So,
thank you. That was from the chat. I acknowledge the chat.
Oh, Falcon.
Scarry from Scarredcast, beautiful soul that he is, asked if I would be on the show this week to talk about the Las Vegas Open, his show. So I'm super excited. He's like, you're the lead in for Andy Chambers. And I thought, wow, okay, no one's going to listen to me. Awesome. But I'm going to do it. But how does that happen?
Scarry has Andy Chambers?
Yes, he got Andy Chambers. When we were doing Stat Center, we never got anybody like that. We like.
I feel like Andy Chambers. No, I feel like Andy Chambers was on TFG Radio. So I have a suspicion that in order to get an interview with Andy Chambers, you just ask him, and he will, and you get an interview with Andy Chambers.
It's true. It's true.
He seems like a nice man.
Maybe he is. I don't know.
Unlike those. Oh no! Careful.
I haven't checked his chat history.
Like those who. Oh no!
I was gonna say unlike those Perry twins, but I think one of them may have passed, and so I didn't want to make fun of that, but I'm not
like
sure.
The Bee Gees.
Yes, exactly like the Bee Gees. Who are from Australia? Did I learn that this week? I think I learned that the Bee Gees were from Australia.
Are they?
Yeah, I might be wrong though. Let me have a look.
I'm also on the podcast this week, Falcon.
You are also Australian? Is that what you said?
I'm on Scarredcast. Scarredcast.
He tried to get me on Scarredcast too, but I told him I was busy until February, so.
So that's why he picked me, right? That's always how it goes with the stat center interviews. They always go to Val first. They're like, can you do it? You're way more charismatic than Peter. And then Val says no. And then I get a message like, hey, are you okay with being the boring Val? And I say, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
I'll do it.
BGs, in fact, are Australian. Didn't even know that. Now
the BGs are Australian.
Australian.
Bet they rode kangaroos as well. Think about that.
Yeah, think about it. I'm born again man child is saying they were born on the Isle of Man.
But I just skimmed a Wikipedia article that I thought confirmed what I thought.
If you don't know what the Isle of Man is, the Isle of Man is a little tiny island to the side of near the UK. I think it's between Ireland and Wales, maybe. Might not be. But we got the Isle of Man. We also have Guernsey, whatever it is, one of those, which is like our tax haven. So we also have, like, we don't really talk about it much. Like, it's never in the news ever. We don't talk about it just because, like, then all of, like, the corrupt, like, top elite are like, that doesn't really exist. Like, you hear no news ever from there. There's no, like, no drama ever occurs on that island for some reason where you get massive tax exemption. I don't know.
There's a really great guy named Simon Chatterley, I want to say, who's from the Isle of Man. Anyway, yeah, I met him at the LVL. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. I think I met him too. He's a really nice guy.
He was running Three Brass Scorpions, I think, at that event that you'd covered in the Northwest Open.
Yes. Yeah, he's a great guy. And of course, obviously, yeah.
Okay, so here's the full scoop on the Bee Gees. They are, in fact, brothers. Didn't know that. All three of them are brothers. Born, what? As mentioned already. Yep, they're the Hanson of the 1970s.
I knew that they were brothers. Who didn't know that they were brothers?
I didn't.
Two of them are dead.
Well, I mean, blowing the lead a little bit, but yeah.
Continue.
Two of them are dead. And they moved briefly to Australia, and that's where I got confused.
And then they died.
They died, obviously, of various venomous bites.
But think about it. They're the Bee Gees. They were making disco during the disco times. They must have been absolutely smashing.
Their lives were made of cocaine.
No wonder they're dead. That's basically the answer. Yeah. As people who probably came of age, all three of us, kind of in the 90s-ish, I feel like we were raised to really look down on disco because maybe we hadn't heard Daft Punk yet. And I feel like there's probably been no musical medium that has made a greater comeback over time than disco. True or false?
Disco's making a comeback.
Made a comeback, man. Fully rehabilitated. Fully rebuilt.
Was it never not cool?
Thanks to the French.
I've always thought it was cool. I used to DJ a disco night like 4 years ago. It was great.
What? You never DJed a disco?
No, I DJed actual disco music for like every Saturday, which was great. There was like loads of cool kids would come in and like be like super cool and into disco and like and then you'd have like your traditional like Saturday night townies on the piss and they'd be the worst human beings in the world. And they'd just be
Saturday
like
Saturday night townies.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is?
That was the worst disco band ever.
We all talk about townies in this area. Well, in my previous area of living. So, what is it for you guys?
It's like I don't want to accidentally insult anyone in the chat. Cause it's quite a broad term. Effectively, like you know, you
it's like people who play Warhammer and are anyway.
Yeah, yeah. People who work the 9 to 5, which is super acceptable, and then you spend all of your money on one outfit that you wear on a Saturday night. You get hammered, you eat a kebab after, maybe have a fight, and then you wake up on Sunday, you're like, I'm never drinking again. And then you do it all again until you're like, maybe like 40, probably. Sometimes in your 30s, you'll get like a mild cocaine addiction as well. It's pretty much a townie's like life cycle. Post 40, you get really racist.
So townies to me were the gross people who lived in the town I went to the university in. Is that not what a townie is?
That's
usually how it's defined in Canada. If you live in the country, you're like anybody that lives in the city is a townie.
Whoa.
It's usually in a very derogatory manner.
Yeah, townies always, you never want to be a townie.
No. Particularly in Newfoundland. If you live in like near St. John's, Newfoundland, and everybody that's from that area, like their like biggest dream is to not be a townie. If you call anybody from that area a townie, they get so upset. They're like, I'm not a townie. I live on Signal Hill. Like, isn't that in the city?
Speaking of townies from Newfoundland, I sold a laptop on eBay. And I horribly mislabeled it, and it totally was not what the guy thought he was buying. And then I did not get his request for making the return for a week, and it had lapsed, and I was being investigated by eBay for fraud. And I just panicked and refunded this guy from Newfoundland, so I assumed he was clearly an honest man, and I gave him his money back and said, just send the laptop back. No response.
This is life. This is what happens. He's a townie.
That's what happens with that is a townie move.
That's a townie shithead move. Townies are shitheads.
Garbage person.
Chat, none of you better be townies or I'll fuck you up.
Can I just say, Nick, thanks to Nick Blackburn, who's definitely not a townie.
He's definitely a townie.
Oh, you know, right. Nick Blackburn?
Nick Blackburn is the deepest of townies.
Yeah. Well, he just donated $20 to the show.
$20? Where'd you make $20, you townie?
Bougie Val here, like $20. Okay.
All right, so a couple of things before we head out, because I'm always conscious of time.
Because you want to get off the show as soon as
time's a flat circle.
No, I want to say massive thank you to Nick. Loads of love. But two points. Number one, I want to ask about Las Vegas and Open, because we need to keep up with it. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Also, I forgot about that.
I just wanted to drop a bit of information on the chat, and also you two. It was a little fun little thing from my personal life, if I can quickly let you know, real quick. The local nightclub to me is called Rock City. I used to, like a decade ago, or even more so now, I used to be their promo manager for a couple of years. Really fun job experience. Loved that. Super fun, but it's also this massive gig venue. It's like a 2,000 capacity venue. Anyway, because of COVID, they're setting up some live stream and stuff. I ran into the owner the other day, and he was like, "What am I doing now?" I said this, and then he was like, "Oh my god, come and like give us some advice." I was like, "No problem at all." So I'm going to be going in there, which is super fun.
Nice,
yeah. No problem. That'll be $5,000.
Yeah. This is my consultation fee. Fucking townie.
Get your finest Saturday night suit on, Rob. You're gonna go make them consultant bucks.
Make that big money. That townie money.
I don't think he's gonna pay me any money. But I just thought that was cool because, like, they'll be because they have all of the famous bands on, which is super fun to that's gonna be live streamed to the world.
So oh my god!
Because I know you two both like music.
I loved how you said that. I don't think he's gonna make any money. Like, it's just very such a Gump situation there.
Well, maybe he'll play disco music and then all the townies will come.
He likes disco. Great.
We'll come full circle.
Yep.
Full bring back. Circle.
Well, my dream is to accidentally plug in the Honest Wargamer Twitch credentials into it at the same time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they live stream all the gigs to their stuff, but also the Honest Wargamer, just everybody who listens to us gets free shows. You're gonna hack it.
Just hack it. Control copy, control V, boom boom.
Angelina Jolie.
Biggity bow.
Control C, control V, Angelina Jolie hacking that shit. Oh.
Clickety clack. Never touch the mouse. Rob doesn't touch the mouse when he's hacking. He only uses the keyboard.
Only keys.
And then Scribo gets on top, and they both use the keyboard to hack faster.
Four hands, one keyboard. It's a romance. This goes back many years.
Right. So anyway,
Death Guard, though.
The Nick Blackboard, because he's a massive townie, has just donated another $20. He says, "Tell Mal thanks for the good times."
Give the change, you filthy animal.
Thanks, Nick. That's super nice of you. So how's the Nopen prep going?
All right.
It's going really well. It's going really well, I think, Val.
No, actually, it is going well. I've lurched into combat action. I've drawn more things on my whiteboard that I'll certainly get around to. Never touch the mouse. I'll be preparing for the Nopen. I will never touch the mouse. Only typing. And, no, it's going to be great. I think we actually... So, So this guy messaged me out of the blue and was like, Pete tells me you need help. that's insulting. Thank you. But he's a local. And Rob, before this is no insult to you, but he's a local. He's a guy who actually I had a very extensive and long conversation with and totally forgot who he was from nearby my house. And he supports a bunch of streams like Art of War and Brad Chester's show. And he's like a former film and TV grad who went into finance, like anyone who wants to make a living at film and television in Canada. And so anyway, he's been helping me out by doing my homework, which has been fantastic. And
oh, that's great. So you've been getting someone to help you with setting everything up?
Well, yeah, a little bit. But also, I do know how to do it, okay? Like, I know how to do it, everybody. And the show is going to be...
I believe you.
Nice.
I believe you. Listen, I get messages like 100 times a day right now, people wanting to volunteer help. And they're like, what do you need me to do? And I'm just like, literally nothing. I got nothing for you. So when this guy who I knew did the Twitches for Art of War, etc., was like, I want to help you. What can I do? I was like, talk to Val. I'm sure he needs help with something. And it was more like, stop talking to me. I'm busy. And then it turned out that he actually is super helpful. So it's always nice when that happens.
Nice. Actually,
times when it doesn't.
Well, Richard, he's another outstanding Canadian 40K personality.
Yep. He's a good guy. I've talked to him quite a bit.
I would say, can I say something now? And this is a 2021 vibe. Yeah. What if we just kind of just forget about America in 40K? Like, you guys are great. Like, the Canadians seem great. Like, I'm just saying, you guys got a lot of weight behind you. You could carry it. Just get a couple of the big boys to move up there. Just basically forget America exists. I'm not saying everyone there. I'm just saying, do you know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure a Canadian hasn't won a tournament in Canada. Actually, we did start winning tournaments in Canada when
that was
the border
a whole thing.
Got closed.
Well, I mean, Jim Vessel was winning stuff, if you don't that seem true. To have forgotten, yeah. Right? For like half a year.
I thought we were talking about TJ Lanigan beating him every time.
Well, they only met like twice. But anyway, regardless, it's been great. I've been kind of doing the talent side and the prep side and the merchandise side, and all that's going really well. The lists were finally all finalized yesterday. The last list was finalized.
There's a Goonhammer article on right now. I don't know if anyone saw that.
Are you allowing the Death Guard stuff?
Yeah, that's why we waited. So we originally set the date of like a week and a half ago as the deadline, but then we kind of found out Death Guard were going to be the week after. So I went to the group and I was like, hey, are you guys cool if we let Death Guard in? And they were all very adamant that we do that. And they asked if TJ could play it. So I said, sure. So everybody else submitted a list, but TJ. TJ got in a couple extra days, and he submitted his list yesterday. So everything is all good in the hood. Goonhammer is going to be doing articles, I think, every day for the next week with all the lists. So we're going to be hosting those on lasvegasnopen.net whenever I get a chance to go on the website, but they'll also be on goonhammer.com so you guys can see what everybody's bringing. I would say... all but two or three of the lists are very meta. Like, this is what you'd expect to see at an event like this. The Australians are bringing some pretty crazy stuff, which I'm always excited to see. And, you know, there's some interesting choices from a couple other people that we'll have to see how they pan out. So pretty excited for the whole thing. The Gleam, if anybody's interested, you probably should sign up to that. If you go to Frontline Gaming or if you go to the Las Vegas Open website, there's a whole thing about this Gleam.io. It's how we're going to handle most of the prizes for the event. It's basically just a website you go to and you click on a bunch of like follows and tweets and I don't know, it's technology. And you get tickets for the show. And we've got, I don't know, several thousand dollars were the prizes lined up. FLG donated $1,000 shopping spree. Mm-hmm. Army Painters giving like, I don't know, 20 some odd sets, it feels like, of painting stuff. Mm-hmm. The 40K Stat Center budget has been spent on a bunch of prizes as well. So it's going to be a good time. I have a Patreon that I don't use really, right? I put like $500 into my website and then... The rest usually goes to me traveling to the Las Vegas Open or to some other event. But this year, because I couldn't travel, I've just been dumping it back into the community whenever I can.
Apparently have a bunch of orc stuff I can also raffle away.
Oh, yeah. Val, big congratulations winning the second big prize from Charity Hammer over the weekend.
Congratulations.
Yep. Yep.
Like pretty cool. 15 orc kits.
Pretty good. I'll probably keep the mech guns because those are worth $100 each.
They are not cheap. Are they? Hey, well, I hope it goes really well. Not long now, right? 2 weeks.
Ish. Week and a half. Yeah. Lots of time.
Yep.
From a gaming perspective, I'm stoked. I was worried about models, but we've worked it out so that no matter who wins what, we should have, like, everybody has the armies available to play to the next round. So I'm really excited about that.
I just want to say that, like, the logistics of this are pretty remarkable. Pete has somehow wrapped his brain around all of it. All I did was throw out dumb ideas that then Pete had to somehow find a way to make happen. And it's really cool how you've pulled this all together. It is a global effort. We're going to definitely figure out. Right, Rob, when are you going to come talk on the stream? We need to actually book all of our people.
I don't know anything about 40K. Pete will tell you that. Like, what would I add to the stream? I'd just
come
be
on,
like,
man. Listen, look at me.
They sound great.
Rob, what does your shirt say? What does your shirt say?
Podcast That's right. Boy.
There you go. Now get out there and start fucking.
Start getting on there. Either way, like, listen, if I come on the stream, that'd be great. If I don't, it's not a drama. Like, what I'm excited about is you guys doing something for the community, so that's super fun. Pete, you should be applauded. I'm gonna see if there's something I can organize. I don't have any money or anything useful, Pete, but I could, like, 3D print a prize or something. That could be fun. I could do that now. I've got that technology.
3D print a picture of yourself and then come on to the show and give it away. Also, you have a green screen, so I can put you in the scene with the other guys. It's awesome. I can actually have you there at the Nopen desk.
I will say, if we do this again, it's going to be way bigger because the amount of contacts I'm getting from, like, the weirdest places that are like, hey, are you doing this? And it's just like, we don't have the time, is absurd. Like, people think this is like a full-on convention. And so I'm getting messages from, like, two design teams have contacted me, three technically, to see if I can, like, promote their product. There's a guy that was, like, super adamant we do hobby streams to teach people how to paint. And I was like, well, like, we can't. Like, that's not the focus here. So I think if we do this again, if we have to do this again, I'm going to just try to make it as big as possible and get the world involved. We got a Spanish announce team, and
we have Spanish.
The entire
Irish
population of Spain is so excited about this. It's such an untapped market.
We have Spanish language coverage.
Conquistador, senor. Like, I'm excited. I mean, that's awesome. It genuinely is awesome, because the fact that you're going to be able to, that country will also get to take part, I think, is super important as well. And anyone who speaks, like, any of those languages, obviously, as an Englishman, I obviously expect everyone should and will learn English eventually. So, like, stop that.
As we all know, all Spanish people drowned in the English Channel hundreds of years ago. So there's really no reason to learn Spanish.
I'm over it. Those ships get in the way of our fishing, which is a major problem that we've solved now. So we're all good on that front. Hey, Pete, it sounds wonderful, honestly, and it sounds great that, like, there's been so many people who come out of the woodwork to support it. I mean, ultimately, like, you know, like, 40K is a massive, massive game, and, like, we've talked about the explosion because of the new edition and explosion because of the last edition. Like, it's definitely got, like, a headwind to it, and so hopefully post-COVID we'll start to see some, like, real special stuff coming out from around the world, right? Like, even like the, like, go on, Val. Sorry.
No, I was hoping with you. I hope post-COVID that this pops off. It's going to be awesome. Oh, man, I fantasize sometimes, but, like, man, remember we could just play Warhammer?
So fun. All right, well, yes. Listen, I'll definitely include all the loads of links in the show notes below so you guys can access that and pay attention to it.
LasVegasNopen.net.
There you go. That's easy.
I don't think I have the Gleam on the site anywhere, actually, because I'm dumb and been spending too much time doing other stuff. But get the link to that, because that's, like, free, easy swag as long as you click follow on, like, 10 websites. So.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. right. Okay, right. Listen, you guys got shout outs, but we've, I mean, that's a whole long shout out. Big love to everyone. You got anyone you want to shout out, especially before we head out?
You. I love you.
Robert Symes.
Oh, wow.
He's a good guy.
You guys
he's
are good guys.
He's not a townie. He's not a bougie. He's not any of these, like, he's not an Australian kangaroo dinosaur. He's just a guy.
He's not a member of the Bee Gees. He's never been to the Isle of Man.
His hat choices are limited at best. He's just down to earth.
Right. He's made of earth.
Okay, he is the earth. He's salt of the earth.
He's only vegetables.
Anyway, I will be back later. I'll announce on Twitter. I've announced that I'm going to do a deep dive on the Kangaroo Men, and it's been lovely. Tomorrow's show is great. We're speaking to Pascal.
Rob, how do you do a deep dive on just a picture? I need to watch this. I need to see how this is going to go.
Well, actually, the meta conversation is actually to do with how they present their information. Specifically, and we've talked about it on the show before, but I actually think that they don't do an overly great job of showing miniatures when they're released. So I was going to go through all of the old videos where they did like narrative introductions and look at their new system, which just seems to be model on a spinny plate, which I like. It's just not that enticing to me, and also like I feel like I don't like the funny videos either. Like, let other people do the funny videos. Like, let the community do the funny videos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, there you go. Thanks, Val.
Val, you need to be vaping at the same time because I got to blow smoke. So there's always some guy with like a
jewel. You need a red LED.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay, cool.
So I'm just going to talk about that because I think it's something, I don't know, maybe a bit of, not public outrage, but a bit of like ragging on him a bit. Maybe that whole process will change and then we all end up with something a bit better, which would be cool. Probably not, because no one listens to what you said, Pete.
And to continue to derail you trying to leave early, Rob, you'd be happy to know, that I diligently fought after the Charity Hammer stream for cutting player audio in the future. I was adamant. I was like, you guys don't know what good commentary is if you think players are required. Shut it off. Shut it off. Get a proper table boss. Let's do this right.
And what did they say? Like,
well, they were like, well, the viewers, they really like player audio. And I was like, it's because they don't know what's good. This is the one time I'm going to say that. They don't know what's actually good.
Now people don't know what's good.
The end.
Yes, Pete. Thank you. You
taught me. This is all you. I thought about you as I was typing. I was furiously typing it because we did Charity Hammer over the weekend. We haven't even talked about it. I commentated five games.
I don't
15
have to
hours.
Go. It's just you guys like normally have to leave.
Like,
but if you want to talk,
Val usually has to leave, and so do I technically. But it was cool. It was really fun. But there was I afterwards I was like, hey, here's some ideas for how to make this better in the future. And one of the things was I was like, get a proper table boss. The guys they had there were great, but they were doing like eight things at once. Like, get a proper table boss. We don't need player audio if you're doing it right, because 9 times out of 10 player audio is garbage. Like, the only information I'm getting out of them is stratagems and psychic powers. The rest is just like, why are we listening to this? So let's get rid of it. It's not that I don't like the players. It's just they don't it's not a value add.
You heard it here first. Pete does not like the players. He doesn't want to hear them. He doesn't even really want to see them.
I really don't.
Do you think all the players are townies? Is that the situation?
Yeah, they're a bunch of friggin' townies.
If you look at the quality of play, yeah, most of them are townies. You can tell. You can feel it.
Blatant.
There's the 1%. The 1% that are bougie and the rest are townies.
Commentary, like, it'd be and because what's exciting about that is if people just do commentary all the time, you'll end up with like loads of commentators who just practice and practice and practice to get better and better and better. You end up with a better product, and eventually, because what you're saying to a 40k player is be good at 40k and good at presenting 40k while you play, which is just moronic. Like, whereas the other one is just like, you guys just focus on entertaining people listening to what's going on with 40k. Definitely the future.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if this was a teaching thing, like a tutorial, go for it. Where that's their goal. But, you know, like in a tournament setting, or even in like the setting that they were introducing at this event, where it was kind of a tournament, it's like, just, we don't need them. There were several, there was a couple games I commentated where we would cut to players and they would start to try to explain everything. And I was like, you don't have to. Alex and I here, we've explained everything that's happened. What psychic powers have you used? Let's move forward. Like, we don't need, Like, there's very little that we need. We know we can follow a game. So, it's no knock on them. Like, we used the technology we had, and it was very good. I did enjoy the Charity Hammer stream. But, like, yeah, next time, let's cut players unless they're doing a tutorial stream and let the announcers do their stuff. So, anyway, it was all you, bud. 2-3 years ago, I would never have said that. I'd been like, oh, players, listen to them. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
I remember you said once, you were like, I was listening to an iPad stream from this tournament in Sweden. I was like, no one else is doing that, Pete. Like, it's just you.
I am the only guy, but that's how I learn, right?
So anyway. Yeah, no, I know. That's why you're such a legend.
I mean, that person didn't even mean to stream it. It was just a pocket dialed in the cell phone. And
Pete. It's happened, for sure. It's definitely
You'll watch anything.
True. You guys are all brilliant. Listen, peace and love to everyone. Try and help support these guys any way you can. We'll see you guys soon.
We'll see you in the Biden administration.
Next week. Exactly the same.
Buy some Las Vegas Open merch so I don't have to pay for it. Bye.